Luke chapter 10, and the passage we're going to be looking at together this morning. And what I'm doing, in fact, is continuing on where we left things off when I visited with you previously last year. So continuing on in Luke, and this is where we're up to, where we got to together last time. And we're addressing ourselves to those verses that were read for us before. Before we go to those verses, however, would you look at verse 25 in this chapter? So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And there's a really critical question that's put to us there. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Let me tell you about an encounter I had a few years ago. I met a man, a delivery truck driver, and I helped him unload a delivery that was taking place where I was living at the time. And as we were unloading his delivery, we got to talking and got to sharing a few things. He wanted to know what I was doing up to at the house, and I told him that the house belonged to the church that I was serving, and he wanted to know which church that was and was I a pastor there. And then he told me that he'd been part of a wedding of his stepson in another Reformed church in Melbourne, and did I know that church? Well, of course I did. And then he told me that two of his wife's sons were very active in this particular Reformed church, and one of them was actually an elder in that church. Now, it wasn't a long conversation. We had about 10 to 15 minutes to unload his truck, but I got the idea that this man himself was not a churchgoer. So I asked him. And as I remember the conversation, it went something like this. He said, "I grew up as a Baptist, but that was when I was still very young. I left all that as I grew up. It's not that I don't believe," he said. "I'm not an atheist or anything like that. I'm just not a practicing believer. I sent my own children to Maranatha Christian School. I gave them the best chance that I could. Didn't do them any good, though, because none of them are believers either." Now, that guy was a really nice fellow. He was easy to talk to and listen to. He was the kind of guy that my father would have said could talk the leg off an iron pot. Now, I have no idea where my father got that saying from. But to him it meant that he was someone that was very sociable and very easy sort of going sort of person, nice to be with. Now, our conversation on that particular occasion didn't go much further. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning. He had another delivery to make across the other side of the city. He wasn't looking forward to driving through peak hour traffic. But that man and the brief conversation that we had together has stayed with me ever since. Because I wish that I could have found a way to get to that question right here in verse 25. And I so wish that I could have had the opportunity to say to this man, "Believing in God does not count unless you know Jesus. He is the only one who can actually and truly introduce you to God." And I wish the words had been there for me on that particular occasion, and that I'd asked him, "Do you know how to inherit eternal life?" Now, this question of what we must do to inherit eternal life is one of the most important, I believe it is the most important question of all questions that we can ask. There are certain questions that we need to ask. There are a lot of questions, in fact, that we need to ask. And we want to ask. And some of them are quite serious. But of all the questions that could ever possibly be asked, that ever needs to be answered, actually answered, this one is the most important. What must I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I tell you, congregation, the reason that question is the most important question that can ever be asked is because your soul is immortal. Your soul is never going to die. Your soul, the person that you are, never goes out of existence. Doesn't matter whether you're a believer or a non-believer. Your soul never goes out of existence. Every human being born lives forever. Our bodies will die. Our souls go on eternally. Every person who has ever lived will be the person they are forever. There is nothing hard about this. It is very basic, but it is super, super critical. Jesus was full on into his ministry right across Galilee in our chapters here. He was calling on people to be full on disciples, not just curious people, but committed. He'd already said back in chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And what he said was, we have to give up all of our ambitions, our desires, our will, and submit everything to him, and so that the Jesus becomes the Lord of our life. And Jesus was going about giving the gospel invitation to become followers of him, inviting all who heard him to self-denial, self-cross-bearing, obedience, inviting them to enter into the kingdom of heaven, inviting them to receive the forgiveness of sin and eternal life from him. Now it's in that setting that we come to this incident that only Luke tells us about, to do with these sisters Martha and Mary. And our first point here this morning is another question: what's most important? Now, have you ever been in a situation, you know, in a place where everything's designed for fun? You know, you've gone maybe to an amusement park or to a holiday resort, or you're just at the beach, and then you come across someone there who's just not having any fun at all. Now, the place is all about relaxing and enjoying the atmosphere of fun. Everything all around is bright colours, and there's music, and it's light music, and it's really airy, and the people are dressed in casual, relaxed gear, and there's this one child who is crying, bawling his eyes out at the top of his voice because he can't get what he wants. Or there's this other person who's just got the look of thunder on their face, you know. You know this person is clearly not happy. In fact, you know this person's having a really bad time. You see it in the way they walk. Their shoulders are slumped. They shuffle along as if it's all too much effort. They're totally disinterested. There's just no interest in their eyes about what's going on around them. The corners of their lips are turned down. These people have forgotten what fun is. Now, in our scripture passage for this morning, we've got someone who also forgot what she was there for. Her name was Martha. And it seems that one day she suddenly had 13 guests drop in for dinner. Jesus and his disciples had been travelling in the area and unexpectedly dropped in. I don't know how you would manage that, 13 extra guests. What would you do? Perhaps you decide to go and cook up a really big omelette. Oh, it's got to be a big one, this one. Or maybe you'd order out for pizza.
big order.
Maybe you'd go to KFC or McDonald's, or you'd go to your freezer and you'd dig out some stuff out of your freezer. Martha didn't have any of those options. They just simply didn't exist. She couldn't order out for fast food or go out to the restaurant. There were no freezers for ready-made meals. She probably had to grind up a quantity of flour and bake the bread. She probably had to go and kill a few chickens and maybe even a goat for the meal. She probably had to milk the cow. She then probably also had to go to the village well to get fresh water. She might even have had to do some house cleaning. Now, I think you get the idea, don't you? This lady's busy. Verse 40 says it all for us. Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted. She was worried. Her mind was on other things. She wasn't thinking actually about her guests, because all she could think about was all of the things that she had to do in order to serve those guests. And she didn't quite know how she was going to get through it all. She was agitated. She's distracted. She's frustrated even. There was no fun or pleasure in having these particular guests. So what does she do? It just means work. There are 1,001 things to do to look after them. Now, it's good, isn't it, to have guests? It's good. It's pleasure. But somebody has to make sure their food and the dishes are there, all of them, on time. And somebody has to clean up afterwards. Martha wanted to listen. She wanted to be with that group. She wanted to be part of the socialising, enjoying the relaxed atmosphere. But all she heard were bits and pieces of conversation as she went along. Being a good, conscientious hostess that she was constantly jumping up and down, doing all the work of trying to get things ready to feed these 13 unexpected guests. She wanted to listen, but she was distracted by the pressure of it all. In direct contrast to Martha was Mary, her sister. Verse 39 tells us she sat at the Lord's feet and she listened to his teaching. She just sat there, listening. Really? When there was all this other stuff to do, she just sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Actually, that's what people did back then. In the Middle East, students sat at the feet of their teacher. So like a student, Mary sat at the feet of the great teacher, Jesus Christ. She wanted to learn from Jesus. She was eager to learn. Martha, it seems, didn't appreciate this. While running backwards and forwards, she notices that Mary is just sitting there down at the feet of Jesus. And here she was, so busy with all these unexpected guests for dinner and his sister sitting down. So Martha goes up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Now, I wonder if you notice what she did there. According to her, Mary had left her to do the work by herself. So Mary had probably been helping. But now she thought it was more important to sit down and listen to Jesus. She'd been working, but then she said enough. And she sat down at the feet of Jesus. Now, I said before that we have in this incident, what we have here is something that should occupy a really important place in all of our lives and our thinking. And that something is priority. Not priorities, plural, priority. Singular. Christian priority. Priority is a word that gets a lot of work out in the time we live. You know, the more society becomes frenetic, more frantic, more disjointed, more disconnected, more mobile, more involved, life just speeds up. It becomes literally engulfed in so many different things. The word priority seems to be constantly on our lips, especially if people are trying to sort out their life. and get some kind of pecking order into the terms of what they need to be committed to. You know, you can go to any bookstore and you will find multitude of books on getting your priorities, setting your priorities. You can hire people actually to come in and teach you how to prioritize your life. It's really become very, very popular word, that word priority. Because it seems to be a very great need in this complex time in which we live. When we use the word priority, we sort of use it on its own. You know, it sort of exists in a little world of its own. When we say priority, we usually mean important things. Or what's the main thing, or what's the most necessary. The word itself, priority, is simply a form of the word prior, what comes before or ahead of. A priority is something that comes before everything else. It precedes everything else. It's ahead of everything else. A priority is something that's supreme. It is essential. It is foundational to everything else that follows after it. So when we talk about priority, what we're really saying is, what in life comes before everything else? And if we were to ask the average person on the street what their priority is, I'm sure we get a whole lot of different answers. But if we were to ask Christians that question, there should only be one answer, by the way. A single answer. Just one answer. And if I were to ask you to write down on a piece of paper the number one priority for your life as a Christian, what would you write down? What's the number one priority? Not two, not three. And I'm expecting you to be sitting there right now thinking this out. What are you going to write down? Maybe it's your husband or your wife. Or your children. Maybe you're thinking, church. How many of you, during the offering, I'll pick that bit of the service, were trying to plan your day for tomorrow already? Work. Loving the Lord, you might put down as your priority. Witnessing. Whatever. But we're not talking about priorities here. This is about priority number one. You're only allowed to write one thing down. Before we get right down to the priority of the believer, let's make a second point. The serving and service are really important, but not the most important thing. Too many times when we look at this incident of Martha and Mary, we kind of look down on Martha as being bad. You know, she didn't do it. She wasn't very good. But Jesus didn't condemn Martha at all for her serving, for being and trying to be a good hostess. It's obvious that both Martha and Mary deeply loved Jesus. Both of them expressed their love and their faith in their service of Jesus. Both of them expressed their love and their faith by being hosts of Jesus. All of us should know that the Christian life is a life of faith expressed in works. This means that all Christians like Mary and Martha should show their love and their faith in their service. Like Mary and Martha, all Christians should be hosts. We're called to minister the physical needs of others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can call this a biblically ordered doctrine. Christians are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's completely against and contrary to the spirit of our age. There's this idea of serving one another. It's just not popular at all. When the popular religion of our age is that people are to be self-assertive, self-serving, self-centered, self-esteemed and self-indulgent. Because as the advertisers keep telling us, you're really worth it. Now that's the message that's being impressed on us everywhere. We have to look after ourselves. Even the care of the frail and the sick and the elderly is something that is to consume us while we are fit and healthy and young, because if you want to live life with the kind of style that you have right now, then you have to make sure you're out for number one. You need to accumulate vast resources of investments and income streams so that when you get sick and when you get frail and when you get elderly, you can look after yourself in the style to which you are accustomed, because you really are worth it. The concept, however, that comes through the Word of God and the teaching of faith that expresses itself in the works and care of others is really quite foreign and at odds to our modern concepts of affluent, smoothly running society. I know Australians can be incredibly generous when it comes to giving money and aid packages and disaster relief. We are. But giving money is not serving. It's not being Christian hosts, where we're actually called to minister. We're actually called to get our hands dirty, to cater for and to provide for the physical needs of others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an amusing illustration I came across which kind of drives the self-serving point home. There was a farmer, he was single, he wanted a wife, so he placed an advertisement in the newspaper that said, man, 35, wants woman, about 25, with tractor, send photo of tractor. Self-serving, right? But Christ calls us, like Martha and Mary, to serve others. We need that outward look, not the inward look. Jesus didn't condemn Martha for serving, but he did warn her and let her know that he could see that she was really distracted by all the serving, that she was neglecting that which is necessary and better. Jesus said, verse 41, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. And this is the point. This is the main thing. This is our third point. Martha's emphasis was on being a host to Jesus. Mary's emphasis was on being a student, a guest of Jesus. Both the Martha attitude and the Mary attitude, both of them are good. But the greater one is being a student of Jesus. You see, service can kill a person. Being busy with this or that can actually kill a person. Putting all our emphasis on being a host can be deadly. And what happens when a person like Martha is too busy to listen to Jesus, so she says, Martha, only one, or Jesus says to her, Martha, only one thing is actually needed, and that one thing is to be the guest of Jesus. We think we invite Jesus in and he'll be our guest. No, it's the other way around. Jesus is inviting us to be his guest. In an earlier chapter of Luke, we learn what it means to be a disciple. And a disciple, and that's to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and follow him. Now we're finding out how disciples are actually thinking, how to think. Disciples who take up their cross and follow Jesus think like the Lord thinks. They're learning from him. They want to learn from him. We're going to start sitting at his feet. We're going to get as close as we can to him. And he's going to teach us about prayer and about Satan and about demons. He's going to teach us in the following chapters that come after this. He's going to teach us about God's holy judgment and about hypocrisy and persecution, about suffering and about the Holy Spirit. He's going to warn us about greed. He's going to instruct us about contentment and about how to use money and how to be generous and how to give. There are going to be lessons in the following chapters on God's promises, on the covenants, on unity, on righteousness and holiness and God's justice. and humility and pride, the cost of being loyal to Christ. He's going to teach us about the kingdom of God, how to enter it. He's going to teach us how heaven rejoices when sinners are converted. He's even going to teach us about divorce, about hell, about repentance, about forgiveness, about heaven, and a whole lot about faith. And you know what? There is only one place where we're going to get all of that, and much, much more. And it's only by being at the feet of Jesus, like Mary was. She knew she had to be Jesus' guest. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important than being at the feet of Jesus. Absolutely nothing else is as important as that. You know, a new car, wonderful. The smell of it. The smooth way it drives. Everything works. It's got all these gadgets you want to find out about. Wonderful to get a new car. A fulfilling job. It's a great goal to have. An immaculate house. Beautiful. Happy guests. A business that is showing a profit every year. A relaxing vacation, invigorating exercise, a handsome boyfriend, a beautiful girlfriend, high grades in your examinations. All of those things are important in some measure in life, but they are completely unimportant next to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one thing is needed, and it's knowing Jesus, listening to him, being his guest. Everything else is secondary, or it should be if you say that you are following Jesus. Mary knew what she needed. Martha, on the other hand, was so busy, she chose to busy herself with all the work and the preparations involved in looking after Jesus and his disciples. Work and service are good things. After all, Mary did do some service. But taking time to listen to Jesus is even better. Actually, it's not just the better option, it is the best option. If we're too busy serving that we neglect daily prayer and meditation, regular church attendance, Bible study, discussion groups, devotional reading. You're either too busy or you're just plain lazy. And our Lord instructs us to set our priority straight. He instructs us not only to be his host, do his work, but also to be his guest, to spend time knowing him and listening to him. As the Son of God, his words are the words of life. To listen to him is to drink in the only water that quenches the thirst of the soul. My question here is, do you know Jesus in this way? We can know Jesus as a figure in history, or as a good man. Or we can know him as a fine example of moral living. But do we actually know him as our host? Where we listen to him. Where we take time to listen to him. Do you spend a portion of each day reading God's word? Do you faithfully attend the worship services? As a guest preacher, I can ask you that question. Do we know him as our host? Are we part of a Bible study? Do you attend the catechism classes? Are you a guest? So let's remember, congregation, that only one thing is needed. Only one. As a church, we can so easily get into what's called the Martha syndrome. As a church, we can get so caught up in different programs, meeting the budget, improving the buildings, that we forget the number one concern. As a church, our number one concern has to be knowing and listening to Jesus Christ and being his guest. There's always work to do. Always work to do. At our place of employment, at home with the kids, around our homes, at church, at the school, in our various music and sporting groups that we or our children are a part of. There's always stuff to be done. But make sure that you take out every day some time to listen to Jesus, to better know, to better cherish Jesus, and to be his guest. We expect and encourage everyone to do daily devotions. I'm speaking on behalf of Session. I haven't asked them about this, by the way, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty right. Everyone is expected and encouraged to take part in daily devotions, to fully participate in the morning and the evening worship services, to be actively engaged in the life of the church family. We're here to serve each other. But the priority, our only real priority, we're here to cherish Christ. To really cherish him. May the Lord so lead us. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you speak to us about Martha and Mary. Thank you, Father, that you show us these things. But Father, it is a struggle. We'll be honest about it, Father, but it's a struggle to simply put things aside. And some of us, Father, have a bigger struggle than others of us, but we know, Father, it's difficult to put things aside and to set things down and to make the time and to make you the priority. Father, lead us and guide us to serve you, to worship you, to be your guest. In Jesus' name. Amen.